everyone, and welcome to Northwestern Mutual's Ask the Financial Expert series. We welcome our experts, Ron Jolson, Northwestern Mutual's Chief Investment Officer, and Mark McLennan, Vice President of Investment Product Development. Thanks for joining us, and now I'll hand it off to our experts.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Ask the Financial Expert. I'm Mark McLennan. I'm here with Ron Jolson. Welcome, Ron.
Hi, Mark. Good to be back.
You know, Ron, we've been having a very interesting time with the markets this year, the last quarter, last few months. You know, most people have heard headlines or they hear the talking heads talk about the Dow or the S&P 500 when something happens with China or where there's some move on interest rates contemplated. What you hear about is the impact on the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the S&P 500. Can you share some insights about what those are? And for those who have heard the terms before, they're not really familiar with what they are. At the basic level, what's the Dow and what's the S&P 500?
Sure, let's talk a little about that. And we have been getting some questions on that. I'm glad there's interest in the subject. These two indices are very different. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, I think if it weren't for the history of it, probably wouldn't exist today. But it's been around since, 1896 or something close to that. And because it's been around so long and because it was the only index for many years, it really took hold in the investment community. And so it's basically 30 different companies, which are determined by a small group of individuals, I guess, that work for Dow Jones, or at least for McGraw-Hill, who I think owns Dow Jones these days. And in any case, those 30 industrials, they originally were industrials. They're no longer industrials today. So they're generally 30 large companies. The thing that's important about it is, one, it's not really representative of the market, so you need to be careful about that. And two, it's calculated on a price average basis. It is adjusted for splits, but nonetheless, it's price average. So what ends up happening is large companies with higher prices. So if you look in there and you see Goldman and IBM, companies like that will tend to have a much higher impact than companies that just happen to have lower prices, like, say, a GE right now. So because of that, I think it's sort of less representative of what you might be interested in as an investor. But because of the historical significance, right, it's still used a lot. Now, the S&P 500 is much different. And by the way, that's also selected by a group of individuals. A lot of people think it's just like the 500 largest companies, which is not the case, not like the Fortune 500. Or people think it's the companies with the 500 largest capitalization. It's not that. They're actually selected based on a variety of factors: market cap, liquidity, float, sector, financial viability. There's a whole bunch of different measures. I think even the length of time a company has been publicly traded actually has an impact on whether or not it gets in the S&P 500. So there are some rules in the 500. So for example, the market capitalization has to be at least, I think it's about $5 billion, maybe a little bit more than that. And then there has to be a float to capitalization ratio greater than one, and there's some trading volume, I think, measure as well. So there's some hard rules in order to get in, and then there is, in fact, a selection that goes on. But unlike the Dow, it's not price adjusted, it's market cap adjusted, which is probably is a better measure. A lot of people think the S&P 500 is all U.S. It's not. There's at least 25 or 30 companies somewhere in there of foreign-based companies. And so there are others in the S&P 500 that have significant foreign operations. And I think we looked up the percent of revenues of the S&P 500 that actually are foreign-based is something a little bit less than 50%. So it is a more important index, but probably the most important thing, Mark, and something maybe we should talk about a little further, is that it is basically a representation of large cap and leaves out a lot of other companies that I think are important, like mid-cap and small-cap, and that may provide value to an investor.
Well, I think that gets to a point with individual investors. You know, many advisors use the S&P 500 as a benchmark for their large-cap holdings in the portfolio, whereas the Dow Jones, even though it might, react similarly or perform similarly to the S&P 500, I don't think a lot of people use that as any kind of benchmark for performance on just their large-cap. But would it be good for an investor to compare their overall portfolio to either one of these? And why would that be good? Why would that be bad?
People do it all the time, and it's not good because their actual portfolios, generally speaking, have a very different risk profile than the S&P 500. And in fact, if an advisor is doing what they should be doing and they're trying to understand the client's risk profile, then it definitely should be something that's very different than the S&P 500. So there are a lot of reasons why the returns our clients should be getting may at times look much better or much worse than the S&P 500. It doesn't mean anyone's doing a good or a bad job necessarily. It may be simply reflective of the combination of assets that they have that reflects their risk tolerances, and you wouldn't expect it. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, even the S&P 500 itself, even if you're somebody that says, I want to be 100% invested in stock, that's great, but what about mid-cap and what about small-cap? And, you know, those are very different profile and return characteristics than the large-cap. So even there, even an investor that has decided they want to be fully invested in equity may not necessarily expect their returns to reflect the S&P 500 because that is not the only game in town. There's a lot of other ways to invest in equities.
And looking back, I mean, the past full quarter, large-cap didn't do too well for that quarter. Right. But if you look at the last few years, large cap did well. And in fact, compared to mid cap and small cap, kind of unusual that it did as well as it did. Would you agree?
I do agree. I mean, in fact, I think it was in 2013, you know, didn't large cap do better than 30%? And small and mid cap didn't quite make it. In fact, treasuries did the best after that. I think treasuries in 2013 did close to 30%. So, you know, anybody who had a diversified portfolio that included large, mid, and small didn't do as well as the index that year.
Right.
Just really couldn't do it.
So, you know, you have a diversified portfolio. If it does include some large cap, because that is a large, you know, publicly traded market, what are the trade-offs so far as active versus maybe passive management in that large cap space?
Yeah, I think in the large cap space, a lot of people feel that maybe passive is better. And you got on this a little bit in the beginning in your introduction, because their exogenous effects tend to impact the large cap space more. So things like China, what's going on in Europe, things that we're seeing will affect those broad indices. And those events may far outweigh the ability of a specific asset manager to select individual names. But when you start getting into the mid and small space, and a lot of people feel that's an important space to make sure you have some exposure to, that's where I think you get a lot more value from an active manager that really understands, you know, which companies are doing well and which ones aren't. Now, that isn't to say that there aren't active managers that can't do well in the large cap space. There are, and they do. But all other things being equal, I think there's probably a better ability to take advantage of individual selection in the mid and small space.
I would agree. And on the retail side, for larger investors, although you may not be buying an ETF or a fund in large cap, you may have a basket of stocks looking to mirror kind of an index, but they may own individual securities just because of tax purposes or flexibility with raising cash or any liquidity needs.
Right. That's a good point.
So I guess in summary, would you say it's good to be diversified? And when someone on the news tells you how the Dow Jones did that day or the S&P 500, you should talk with your advisor about how does that impact me, or what would you say about that?
Well, first of all, I would stress it's really all about the entire portfolio and the asset allocation that you have. And the allocation needs to reflect your risk tolerance. And by definition, if you look at any given year, there's going to be a number one asset class and a number 10 asset class. And unless you happen to be invested in that number one, let's face it, somebody who is, and there will be somebody who is going to do better than you are. So the key is two things. One, to make sure that the allocation matches what your risk tolerance is doing. And then I think it's a good idea within each of the sleeves that you're invested in, how has that manager done to a benchmark that pertains to the sleeve you're talking about? That's a good way to assess whether or not an individual manager is doing well in that particular asset class. But when it comes to the overall return, comparing your overall return to the Dow or the S&P 500, it really is only going to make sense in the case of the S&P if your whole portfolio is large cap stocks.
Right. Which, if it is, I'd like to see what your plan is. Great information, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Northwestern Mutual is the marketing name for the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. and its subsidiaries offering life insurance, disability insurance, and annuities. Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is a subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual and a limited-purpose federal savings bank offering investment management, trust services, and fee-based financial planning. Northwestern Mutual Investment Services, LLC, is a subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual, broker-dealer, registered investment advisor, member, FINRA, and SIPC, offering securities. The opinions expressed are those of Northwestern Mutual as of the date stated on this recording and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that the forecast made will come to pass. The materials do not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment or security. Information and opinions are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources. All investments carry some level of risk, including the potential loss of principal invested. Indexes and/or benchmarks are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Returns represent past performance and are not a guarantee of future performance and are not indicative of any specific investment. Diversification and strategic asset allocation do not assure profit or protect against loss. Although stocks have historically outperformed bonds, they also have historically been more volatile. Investors should carefully consider their ability to invest during volatile periods in the market. With fixed income securities, such as bonds, interest rates and bond prices tend to move in opposite directions. When interest rates fall, bond prices typically rise, and conversely, when interest rates rise, bond prices typically fall. Bond and bond fund investors should carefully consider risks such as interest rate risk, credit risk, liquidity risk, and inflation risk before investing in a particular bond or bond fund.